Good morning, everybody. Jokes about minion speed don't get onto the recording, I guess. We're starting from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Thank you to Rabbi Spitz for hitting the Mishnah for me, so I didn't have to learn yesterday's Daf. I can return to my, personal learning rather than learning to keep up with Daf Yomi. Anyways, says the Mishnah, a very complicated Mishnah because it's extremely vague. The Gemara, however, is going to go through on a case-by-case basis what everything in the Mishnah means. So I'm going to read and translate the Mishnah, and I'm going to explain some of the concepts of the Mishnah, but I'm not going to go through each of the cases the same way that the Gemara does. Okay? So that's how we're going to work through the Mishnah. So says the Mishnah, Ein hameduma midameya ela lefi cheshbon. So the rule is that miduma, anybody know what miduma is? Have you... It's mixed in, exactly. It's when you have truma that's mixed in. If you'll remember, we had a couple of davim ago, the iser to be maktim truma lebikurim, and the Torah told us, milei ascha v'dim acha. Okay, that's the shem shorash of miduma. So miduma is when you have a truma, and it gets mixed in with some sort of chulin, but not to the required bittul of 1 in 100. Okay, that's the bittul for truma. And in such a case, that entire mixture is considered prohibited as miduma. Okay, and again, the Gemara is going to talk about the details of these cases, as we said, and that only continues to offer dimua ela lefi cheshbon according to a calculation of what's inside it. Again, as we said, the Gemara will deal with this case and will explain it in precise details, but that's what meduma is. Ve'ein ha-mechumatz mechametz ela lefi cheshbon. The same ruling applies as well to a leavening agent of teruma. Again, the Gemara is going to go through in detail what this case is, but that's what it means from the lashon of chimutz, right? We have it with chametz. That's going to also follow lefi cheshbon according to a calculation of what's inside, not necessarily, you know, just a, you know, a more general chumrah. Ve'ein hamayim she'uvin poslin es hamikva ela lefi cheshbon. There's a general rule for mikvaos. The rule is a mikvah must contain 40 se'ah of non-drawn water, and if 3 lugin of drawn water are added to the mikvah becomes pasul. What? Or if there's less than 40 sa'ah. Again, it has to have 40 sa'ah. Right? And if it doesn't have 40 sa'ah, then it is pasul. And if it has 3 lugin of drawn water added, even if it does have 40 sa'ah, it is still pasul. Okay? That's the halacha of a mikvah. Okay? And again, when it comes to mayim she'uvim, one element of mayim she'uvim, which again, the Gemara will explain, and I'm not going to go through the entire Gemara now, and we're about to go through it in a minute, will follow the cheshbon, whatever that means. The Gemara again will explain that. Ve'ein mechatas, osin mechatas, ela im matan efer. And mechatas only become mechatas when you put in the ash. Okay, again, the Gemara will explain exactly what's going on here, but basically it sounds like, you know, how do you guys make cereal? Do any of you eat cereal in the morning? Or nobody eats breakfast? Nobody eats breakfast? Okay. Cereal, I would assume that most of you don't eat cereal. That's the truth. That's the truth. But anyways, have you ever seen like really weird people, which is sometimes me, by the way, who pour in the milk and then they put in the cereal? So that's what we're going to be talking about in the Mishnah here, okay? That's, wow, everybody's awake now. I think I should have brought in cereal for today. It would have really made the shear, of course. I could have gotten Navera for making everybody eat before davening, but hey. Okay.
Daf is a continuing cereal.
Ooh. Okay. Let's quickly move on. Ve'ein beis hapras, osin beis hapras. And a beis hapras, anybody again familiar with the concept of beis hapras? A beis hapras is where you have some sort of a grave in the middle of a field, and depending on how you plow the field, as we're going to again find out many, many details in the Gemara, the tuma from this grave could ostensibly spread to the surrounding area, that field itself, and perhaps even further on. So if you already had a field that had the status of beis hapras, which is this area in which there may have been human remains that got plowed around, that if you were to plow that field, that can't make another beis hapras. Okay? That's something, again, we're going to see in the Gemara. Ve'ein truma achar truma. And as I was joking yesterday, you know, someone in the Mishnah was dyslexic. They figured we're learning Temura, and they say, ein truma achar truma. Chalila to actually say that, but again, in case people awake, so hey. If you take truma after you've already taken truma, meaning someone took truma and then they took truma again, that doesn't work, the second one. The first one obviously does work. Finally, ve'ein temura oset temura, ve'lo havlad oset temura. The next question in the Mishnah actually gets back to Temura, and tells us the following two halachos. Number one, let's say I had an animal which was sanctified as a korban, and I did temura with it. I got a big aver, I got my lashes. And now this second animal, so we'll call him Mr. Temura animal, who his kedusha comes not because I was maktish the animal, but because I was maimir the animal. And now I take Mr. Temura and I try to do temura from him onto a third animal. Does that third animal have a status of temura? The answer, says the Mishnah, is no. And so too, if I had an animal that was, muktash to the, again, as a korban, it has a child, and I try to do temura on that animal, that also doesn't work. Okay, and this is what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, havlad osa temura. In that case, it would actually work. There would be a case of temura if an animal that was sanctified had a child. That animal you could do temura from. And Amrullah, the rabbi said back, no. Hektish osa temura vein havlad osa temura. It's only in a case where you're actually maktish the animal that you can do temura, but not when it itself has a child. Again, the Gemara is going to explain this in great detail. What?
Child or fetus?
I was assuming that it was a child here, when it actually has an animal. I mean, what do you mean by fetus? I'm just not sure how that would practically... Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the correct reading of the Mishnah. I could be wrong, I could have misunderstood it. Okay, so with that, we basically said, in summary, if you want to know how we read the Mishnah by saying, see the Gemara. Okay, we had a bunch of different dinim, said things follow lefi cheshbon, and this weird case, and that weird case, and this weird case, all of them are going to be exactly clarified in the Gemara right now. Says the Gemara, Mantana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? And it's funny, because we do it in a very roundabout way. We don't say, what the heck's the Mishnah talking about? We say, who's the Tana of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Delo Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. This is also going to be a recurring theme of going against Rabbi Eliezer. I guess just not my day today. Titnan. So the following Mishnah, a classic case of Meduma, which is you had one Se'ah of Truma that fell into, let's say, 90 Se'ah of Chulin. Okay, so now we've got a mixture of 90 to 1, Chulin to Truma. Is that Mevatel Truma? No. Truma requires 100 times the amount in order to be Mevatel it. So we call this Meduma. Okay? V'nafal min ha-Meduma l'makom acher. Now, some of this 90 to 1 mixture, that now fell somewhere else. Okay? What is the halacha? How much do I need in order to be mevatel that truma? Do we say that this mixture of 90 to 1, midamea, if it falls somewhere else, well, let's say it's a 15 to 1 ratio, it's going to be now considered batel? Because again, we're dealing with 1 and a bit% truma in general. So probably if one saw fell, you wouldn't need that much to be mevatelet. Or would we say no, that you need 1 to 100 still, and we treat it all as truma? And that's a machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer midamea kitruma vadai shani Omer saashenaf lahisha elsa. Says Rabbi Eliezer, you have to assume that the one saw that fell in there is the one sa'ah that's coming out. And we treat it as truma vada, meaning even though it's meduma, we don't say that everything got mixed up and you can assume that only 2% of it or 1% of it or whatever it is truma. No, you have to assume that the entire sa'ah that came out is entirely truma. Okay? And he says, because the one that fell in of truma could be the one that came out. You don't know. V'chachamim, Omer v'chachamim say no. Then you'd only have a maximum of one sa'ah that could possibly be truma, yes. The Chachamim Omrim, Eina midama'as, Ela lefi cheshbon sheba. The Chachamim say, no. It only causes, again, further meduma according to the ratio that we have. Meaning, let's say you mixed together originally. No, I mean, you didn't do this on purpose. But let's say originally, one sa'ah fell into one sa'ah. That means 50% of what you take out is assumed to be truma. If it one sa'ah into 10 sa'ah, 10% of what you take out is assumed to be truma. So you can use it to sort of be mevatelit in this next case, depending on the ratio, and that's what it means in the Mishnah. Ein hameduma midameya ela lefi cheshbon. It's following the opinion of the Rabbanan to say that it follows the amount of actual truma that we can assume is mixed in to this barrel or whatever it was. Okay, that's the first case of the Mishnah. Everybody clear on that case? Any questions? Okay, perfect. Next case. Ve'en ha-mechumatz mechametz. Okay, we said it was something very similar. The halachos relating to leavening. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Yochanan, Masnisin de lo k'Rabbi Eliezer. Yay, we're at the Rabbi Eliezer again. Ditnan. We've got another Mishnah. And here's, again, how we're going to explain our case in the Mishnah. Se'ar shel chulin v'shel truma shenafel utoch ha'isa. So I have my big, you know, I don't know what you call it, a wad of dough? I guess wad could work, yeah. A big wad of dough, and I want to, you know, make it rise, so I want to put in some sort of leavening agent. And the leavening agent, a partial truma leavening agent, a bit of truma leavening agent falls in, a bit of chulin leavening agent falls in. What's the halacha in that case? Okay? So, velo bazeh kedei lahachmetz, velo bazeh kedei lahachmetz. Unfortunately, neither of them is enough to actually make my dough rise on its own, but together, v'nitztarfu v'chimsu, they combine, and they do cause it to rise. So what's the halacha in this case? If any of you have experience with, you know, the rules of kashrus, you may know some of the concepts that are important here.
Are we saying it's binary? It's either rising or not rising?
It's definitely rising, and it's definitely rising only because they are both combined, that meaning the truma had, one and the chulin one. If you only had one, it would not rise at all. Okay. We're assuming correct. There's some sort of halachic guideline for that, yes. Okay. That's an excellent point. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Achar achron aniba, you know, it all depends on the latter one. What this actually means, as Rashi points out, is that Rabbi Eliezer says, it's aser. Okay? Just, I mean, I'm not going to go into the entire sugya, but basically, he holds of the concept of zevizeh gorim, that when you have something which takes part in accomplishing a particular goal, it will be inbittable. Okay? You cannot be mevatel such a thing because it contributes too much. And since it's contributing here, says Rabbi Eliezer, it's going to make this mixture like truma, even though it would technically be mevatel in terms of quantity because it's effective. There's that general rule about a ma'amid, but the question of it extends even further when there is two parts to it. Because, again, it on its own, the truma on its own, could not make it rise. But Eliezer says even though it's only making part of it happen, since it is a contributing factor, it cannot be mevotal.
What's the ratio? What do we care about the ratio?
Let's say 50-50, just to keep it simple. Okay? Either one of them on their own would not...
I just mean dough to sourdough. What's the
ratio? Oh, dough to sourdough? I have no idea. Let's say 1,000 to 1. We don't care. We do not care because it's going to be a mamid and zevizeh gorim and... Correct, because it's machmitz. Okay? The chachamim romrim... So, Rabbi Eliezer says, as chachamim romrim, no. Bein shenafal iser lechatchila, bein shenafal iser basof, la'olamin aser, ad shiyehei bo kedei lahachmetz. Chachamim say, it depends on whether or not the truma itself can cause chimutz. If, however, like in our case, it cannot cause chimutz, then it's going to be mutter. And so too, ein ha-mechumatz mechametz, el lefi cheshbon, we're going to follow that rule, that it's only enough, it's only when it's enough to actually cause chimutz, on its own, that we say that the mixture is going to be aser. Correct, truma. That can be mechavitz on its own. Again, obviously, if it's chulin, you don't have a problem. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah means by that. It doesn't follow Rabbi Eliezer. It follows the Chachamim to say that so long as you don't have that minimum amount of truma leavening agent, then it's going to be okay. Once you do, though, then you've got a problem. Okay? Next case. V'ein hamayim she'uvim poslan es hamikvah. Mantana, asks the Gemara, whose opinion is this? Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Rabbi Bar Abba says, Amar Yochanan, Amar Yochanan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So here we finally associate with the Rabbi Eliezer, but the wrong one. And as we're going to see, we don't keep this anyways. It's not Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. The following interesting case. Mikvah sheyesh bo esrim ma'achas se'am megishamim. Let's say you've got a mikvah of 21 se'ah. Again, how much needs to be inside a mikvah? 40 se'ah. So you've got 21, you've got a slight majority of the mikvah filled. And it's filled with megashamim, regular, proper rainwater. Mimale bekasef cha esre se'ah. You can go and draw 19 se'ah, uposkan la mikvah, and you can sort of get them into the mikvah indirectly. Vehin tehorin, and the mikvah will be kosher. Sheshe iva mitaheres birevia uvehamshacha. Says Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, a mikvah is kosher in such a fashion, even though the water was drawn, provided that there are two criteria that are met. Criteria number one, there has to be revia, there has to be a rove of the water that was not drawn, and two, it has to be behamshacha. What behamshacha means is you cannot take the water and pour it directly into the mikvah. It has to be directed there through some sort of, you know, little ditch that you pour it into channel. And it flows down the channel, whatever the case is, exactly. But it cannot be directly poured in by, and in those two cases, that mikvah will be kosher, provided there are 21 se'ah that are there prior from actual rainwater. And that's what it means, assumes the Gemara, that l'f'ein ha'mayim sh'uvim posel the mikvah el l'fit cheshbon. It's only once it reaches half that this will posel the mikvah. Yes? Meaning, as the 40th sa'ah comes into the mikvah becomes a mikvah.
What I'm wondering is, why is it that you can't pour it all in at one time? Why does it have to come in gradually?
It's not because it's not gradual versus at one time. It's the manner in which it comes in. Because why? Because then it's considered less drawn, so to say. Meaning, when you have water that you draw and you just put in, that's a problem, because that's real drawn water. That's going to pasul your mikvah even with three logan and even after it's 40 sa'ah. But however, since in this case it's not really drawn, it's really dripping in, it's just you played God and put the water somewhere where it's going to fall into the mikvah. So in that case, it depends on how much was there prior.
Then you're going with the flow.
Yes. Okay.
That's my quota for today.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. No offense intended. It's part of the game.
It's part of the game.
Sorry. Okay. Says the Gemara. Okay? Ask the Gemara a question. Would this imply that the rabbis disagree with this halacha and they say it's no good if you would do this? Ravin came and he said in the name of Yochanan, She'uva Shehim Shichua Kula Tehora. And he said, in a case where you took all the water and put it in this manner, again, where you sort of put it in the channel and it emptied itself in, he said that that's tahora, that such a mikvah is kosher. So how could you possibly say the rabbis disagree? Because money, who would he be following? Lo Rabban and Velo Rabbi Eliezer, he wouldn't be following any opinion, that's impossible. He must be following, at the very least, one opinion. And if we know Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires a robe of water to have been there beforehand, Rabbanan must disagree not by being machmir and saying that it doesn't work, but rather by being makil and saying that even if you did the entire mikvah in this fashion, it would be kosher. So obviously, this cannot be, you know, the case of our Mishnah. Because it wouldn't be lefi cheshbon, we would follow the Rabbanan, and we would say that the entire thing would be kosher if done in this fashion. So Ela Amar Rabba says, Lefi cheshbon kelim. It depends on the number of vessels, huh? The Yosef ben Choni, who we're going to explain in a moment, this is the opinion of Yosef ben Choni in the Brisa. He detanya shloshes lugin mayim sheuvin. So getting back to our second ruling, meaning once you've got your mikvah 40 sa'ah, three lug of drawn water shenaflu lemayim that fell inside the waters of a mikvah bishnayim ushlosha kelim with. Again, two or three vessels, meaning each vessel contained a minimum of one log. Va'afilu ba'arba v'chamisha kelim, or, says the first part of this braisa, even if they each contained less than one log in each of these vessels, post l'mas ha'mikvah, the mikvah will be pasul, so long as you pour in three lugin of mayim sh'uvim. By the way, just to clarify, halacha l'maisa, there are ways that we can get around this. The actual mikvahos that we bathe in are not necessarily always this water. There are ways to have bor and nishika, correct, and all these things. We're not going to talk about that, but if you do see a mikvah being filled up with actual water, don't think that they're ruining the mikvah by putting in mayim shuvin. They're not, okay? Just to clarify. Anyways, that's the halacha. So the halacha is, no matter how small these vessels were, no matter how little they contained, so long as the three lugin of mayim shuvin enter the mikvah, it's going to be pasul. However, Yosef and Choni Omer, he disagrees. Bishnayim v'shlosh shakelim posel the mikvah. If each one contains a lug, it's going to posel the mikvah. Be'arba v'chamisha in posel the mikvah. If, however, in each vessel it contains less than a lug, that's sort of insignificant in his world. And therefore, in such a case, it will not posel the mikvah. And that's what the Mishnah means of lefi cheshbon, depending on the number of vessels which you use to pour this water in. Okay, so this is that's going to be the interpretation of the Mishnah, again, to say that if you poured in these three lugin and you used only one or two or three cups, and each of them contained a lug or more, then the mikvah would be pasul. But if you poured it in using 17 cups, each of them had a couple of drops in them, and it added up to three lugin, that would not pasul your mikvah.
That's because it dilutes the 40 sa'ah.
No, it's just three lugan of mayim shuvin pasul to mikvah. It can be 40 sa, it can be 80 sa, it can be 1,000 sa. It's not about reaching the minimum. It's simply about you cannot have this water in the mikvah. Okay. Let's continue. Second to last part of the mission that we're going to do today. Ein mechatas na'asa mechatas. Okay, and we said that we got to the cereal and milk analogy. Okay, so as the Gemara is going to explain, let's see what's going on here. Mantana, which opinion is Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Deloka Rabbi Shimon. Finally, we chose someone else to pick on, not Rabbi Eliezer. It doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon. Tanya, we have the following brisa. Hiktim afar lamayim. If one put in the dust before the water in the for the red cow mixture, okay, for the mechatas, pasul is going to be pasul. For Rabbi Shimon machshir, and Rabbi Shimon says no. If you put in, you know, the dust before the water, and you only put the water on top, meaning if you put in the cereal before the milk, and you only added the milk on top, that's going to be kosher as well, says Rabbi Shimon. Okay? And ask the Gemara, my time under Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon's reason? Dichsiv, v'lakhu latamei me'afar streifas hachatas, v'nasan alav mayim chayim. Says Rabbi Shimon, well, it says that we have a pasuk, and you should take for the tamei person from the dust of the burning of the chatas, and you should put on it living water. Okay, v'tanya, and we learned in the Rishon, Rabbi Shimon Omer, v'chi afarhu? Ask Rabbi Shimon the obvious question that you guys should have asked, and that I should have asked, which is, what are we dealing with here? What do we put in? We put in ash. Does anybody know how to spell ash in Hebrew? We pronounce it afer, and we write it aleph pei resh, not ayin pei resh. What, the Torah doesn't know how to spell? Why is the Torah writing it with an ayin? Says, well, it is, I guess ashes are also dust, and it's clear that it's the afar srefas hachatas, but, says Rabbi Shimon, there's a different reason why the Torah uses that language. V'tanya Rabbi Shimon over, v'chi afarhu, v'alo eferhu, it's ashes, not dust. Ela shina hakasuv mimashma'o, the Torah changed its language, so to say, ladune mena gzera shava, to teach us gzera shava. Ne'amar kan afar, it says here afar, v'ne'amar lahalana, and it says, u'min ha'afar asher yebekar ka mishkan, by a case of sota, the Kohen takes dust from the ground of the Mishkan. It says afar there too. Ma'ala lan afar al gavi hamayim, just like over there. You need to sprinkle the dust on top of the water that's already there. Afkan afar al gavi hamayim, so to here, you can put the dust on top of the water. Uma kan hiktim afar lamayim kasher, and just like over here, if you put the afar first, if you put in your cereal first, and then only put in the milk slash the water, it's going to be kasher. Afkan, even over there, hiktim afar lamayim kasher, if you put in the dust before the water, it's still going to be kasher. V'hachaminal, and how do we know that that's true? That it's kasher no matter which way you do it in. Trei kra iksiv, because there are two psukim, says Rabbi Shimon. It says the pasuk, v'nasan alav mayim chayim el keli. So there's sort of a contradictory understanding within that pasuk itself. V'nasan alav, it says, and you should put on it, meaning, we're talking about the water here. The water is the subject of this pasuk. You should put the water on it. What does that imply? That the ash is already there. Your cereal's already in the bowl. Alma, efer beresha. V'hadar ksiv. And afterwards says, mayim chayim el keli. Then it says you should put it in the vessel. That sounds like the vessel is still empty. So, ha-ketzad, how are we going to reconcile this? Ratza afar lamata. Ratza afar lamala. It doesn't matter. You can put it in first. You can put it in second. It doesn't matter. Now, we said that our Mishnah does not follow this opinion, because our Mishnah says you've got to put in the water first, and only afterwards you add the cereal, you add the afer. Vitana didan an hour tana, my tana, what's his reason? Rabbi Shimon seems to have solid logic. Amar lecha, he would tell you, seifa dekra dafka. No, we specifically follow the drasha of mayim chayim el keli, that the water has to go into an empty vessel. Vinasan alav, and the words vinasan alav teach us la'arvan, that you should mix it up once it's there. It's first you pour in the water to the vessel, then you put in the ash, and then you mix them up. My chazis d'amr seifa dekra dafka dilmaresha. Dafka asks the Gemara, that's so arbitrary. Why are you choosing the second drasha, not the first drasha? Choose the first drasha, not the second drasha. Says the Gemara, lo matzis amres, you can't do that. Ma matzinu b'chol mako machshir l'mala, afkan machshir l'mala, just like in every other place. Meaning, for example, sota, something which makes the water machshir, not necessarily like literally tuman tahara machshir, but something which gives it sort of its status. So that's always goes on top of what we have already. Thinking of it in terms of tuma, by the way, right? You have your fruit and then some water falls on it, that's machshir. It's always the machshir goes on top. So too here, Seilei Chachamim, we want to keep the Machshir on top. And that's why our Mishnah says that you have to have the water first, and only then the Efer, which is being Machshir, the water, which is creating the Mechatas in this scenario. Okay, so that's case number whatever it was of the Mishnah. Next case of the Mishnah, as we continue to go through it. Ve'ein beis hapras, ose beis hapras cannot make another beis hapras. Masnisin de lo kira, v'chule. Masnisin de lo kira, Rabbi Eliezer. We're back to picking on Rabbi Eliezer again. Titnan. Rabbi Eliezer, omer beis hapras, ose beis hapras. Rabbi Eliezer says a beis hapras can make another beis hapras. Meaning if you plow a beis hapras, it will make the adjacent fields also a beis hapras if you plow them into them. V'rabbanan, rabbanan ad kama. How much will they limit this ruling? Meaning, on the one hand, we see that plowing some sort of grave will apply tuma to the outskirts. On the other hand, plowing a beis hapras will not. So what's their limit? Where do they say tuma extends until? So says the Gemara, Ki Asa, Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi. Arrived Amar, Reish Lakish, Amar Rav Shimon Rabba. He said in the name of Reish Lakish, the name of Shimon Rabba, Shalosh Sados, Ushtei Ma'anos. It extends 3 fields and 2 Ma'anos. Okay, Ma'anos is translated as furrows. If you know what that means, great. If you don't know what that means, it means the amount of plowing. So basically what this means, as Rashi explains, is what does it mean 3 fields? It means the field itself, plus as you plow in one direction, meaning you don't plow in like a flower shape that you're going to get all 4 fields around. You're plowing straight. So if you're plowing straight, presumably you'll get a little bit into the field on one side, a little bit into the field on the other side. So the middle field is your original field. That's field 1, and then field 2 on one side, and field 3 on the other side. That's what will become tame. And 2 ma'anos, 2 lengths of plowing. What does that mean? Ask the Gemara, and we're going to get to that in 1 second. We're just going to detail this. Halacha v'kama m'lomana mea ama. And the length of this furrow, again, is 100 ama. As we learned, this halacha that if you plow a grave, you're going to make a beis hapras, a melo ma'ana, 1 furrow's length, 100 amos, which means that it's not the entire field on each side of the original beis hapras that become tameh, it's only a melo ma'ana into each of those fields. So it's shalosh sados and melo ushtei ma'anos, each ma'ana into that field. You can see that in Rashi, right? Right, lo have a kulu beis hapras el ashir shtei ma'anos ma'ana lazu ma'ana lazu. So it will extend 100 amos in this direction, 100 amos in this direction, and that's it. Even though that will be part of field 1, field 2, and field 3, it's not those entire fields have that status, like Rabbi Eliezer might have it, but rather the Chachamim say that it's this length into each of those adjacent fields and nothing the other direction. Okay? And with that, we can conclude for today. Pick up tomorrow.